When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This episode of Horror Movie Talk brought to you by Seat Creep, the best app for buying tickets to sporting events and concerts that you never had a chance to buy. What's that you say? You were on the Ticketmaster site and ordered the second they went on sale and nothing good was left? That's because we bought them within nanoseconds of them going on sale so no one else could. Go ahead and cry to Ticketmaster. They're in on it too. Sure, you could buy the tickets that are left at the back row behind a pillar, but you know you're going to buy from a scalper. Might as well be from us, because fuck you. Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk, an opinionated and accidentally funny horror movie review show. Your panel of expert hosts each week are Dr. Bryce Hansen, who holds a PhD in spookology, and Professor David Day, the foremost expert in scare no-nos. New theatrical releases always get priority, but we also review older horror movies, both good and horrible. I'm Bryce Hansen.
And I'm David Day.
And we've been having technical difficulties.
Yeah, man, it's been an hour of trying to get things set up right, and now I have to get up again and adjust my... I'm so irritated, and it's going to be a great episode!
Yay! Yeah, we have two identical mics that I've had since... You know, for like a decade, but I haven't really used until now, and one of them just shit the bed for some reason.
So we could really use some more Patreon members.
anyways, we got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about It.
2017.
Oh, I thought we were talking about sex.
Oh.
Oh, no.
No. Oh, no.
This whole episode, I've been preparing for the wrong thing.
We can do that, though.
Before we get into it, I just want to plug our website, horrormovietalk.com. There you can find links to our social media and various links to podcast subscription platforms. We post every Wednesday, so subscribe. And if you use Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating. Also... Our good friend David Day has a podcast on the side called...
The Positivacast. This is a short daily podcast where I just try to inject your day with some, you know, some good feelings, some Rice Krispie treats, talking about making people feel good, talking about making yourself feel good, and just generally, you know, getting your day started off or ended off right. So, and it's been doing pretty good since the Rice Krispie treat debacle. Things have been picking up quite a bit.
So, again, today we're going to be talking about It, the movie from 2017. We're going to start out by giving a brief review and our score for the film. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being miserable, and 10 being so good it transcends genre boundaries, and 5 just being a completely average film that hits all the expected marks.
Yeah, you guys know how 1 through 10 works.
Mm-hmm. After we give the score, we'll get into spoilers and take a deeper dive into what we liked and hated about the film. And then later, we'll be doing perennial favorite bit taglines.
Taglines. Hey, you know...
I wanted to do another round of horror or porno, which is probably my favorite bit that we've ever done from our last episode. But it might be like too... Well, first of all, I didn't have enough time to prepare for it. Because we spent very useful time watching the It miniseries from 1990.
It took so long.
It was worth it. But also having it back to back, you know, we don't want to fatigue people. I mean, that's like a special, that's a special game.
You know, though,
maybe we'll do it next time, though.
You know, but that ready, that last episode that we released, Ready or Not, is, I mean, so we're recording this, you know, obviously before you're listening to this. We don't do this live.
This isn't live?
No.
I thought this was radio.
It's just how time works. You do things before they happen.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes as they're happening. Anyway, so...
Wait, the past is more past in the past?
We had this debate earlier. but no, the Ready or Not episode is on track to be one of our very best downloaded episodes ever.
Even that one had a debacle around it. We've had a rough technical issues week.
My wife is potentially thinking about stopping by because she's so angry about horror or porno.
Uh huh.
I started playing it for her and she was like, "This is fun," and then it got to a point where she was like, "I no longer support you doing this show anymore." Because she was so upset. So she might stop by on this episode and and let us have a piece of her mind.
Yeah, we'll see. So moving into the review, we watched it. We already have seen it, but we watched it again. It was good. We liked it. It, the movie.
It was good.
It was good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
No, it. We have to emphasize it on this episode. It was good.
Right.
Just like on the miniseries in the 90s miniseries, they really hit that it hard.
Yeah, by the way, it's like Bryce said earlier.
We're going to defeat it.
Like Bryce said earlier, we just got done last night watching the longest fucking movie I've ever seen ever.
Well, it's supposed to be watched in two parts, which we actually kind of did, but
the it miniseries still... from 90 and we're going to be releasing an episode where we go over that dredge for our Patreon members. And man, that thing is just packed full of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I mean, that thing is the thing that movie studios tap into when they're like, "We got to make Stranger Things. Pull out the it footage." It's
like, yeah. Okay, so here's the trailer for It 2017.
When you're a kid, you think the universe revolves around you. You think that you'll always be protected and cared for. Then, one day, you realize that's not true. Because when you're alone as a kid, the monsters see you as weaker. You don't even know they're getting closer. Till it's too late.
Of one thing. An evil thing.
Bill, if you will come with me, you'll float too.
I saw something.
A clown. Yeah, I saw him too.
What happens when another Georgie goes missing? Or one of us? Are you just gonna pretend it isn't happening like everyone else in this town? If we stick together, we'll win.
Thank you.
too! You'll float too! You'll float too! Woo! Float!
So it is available to rent on Amazon Prime. That's where we watched it. It's also on YouTube and probably other places.
Probably.
You know, where you get movies. It 2017 is a total ripoff of Stranger Things. It features a group of boys in the 80s who discover a young girl with a special power to give them boners. Actually, It 2017 is based on the Stephen King novel It. The film follows the Losers Club, which is a motley crew of six young boys and a girl who find themselves haunted by Pennywise the Dancing Clown, played by Bill Skarsgård. Pennywise is very literally dread incarnate and torments the group of kids with their worst fears. Upon research, the group finds out that Pennywise has been tormenting and killing children for millennia. The film tackles the source material admirably. It's hard to capture on screen the concept of the monster being fear itself. That's kind of the idea that Stephen King was going for.
Yeah.
Just that feeling of, and I think the opening sequence is the best illustration of that, of Georgie going down a dark stairway into the basement to get something.
Yeah.
Because I think that's like a universal fear.
Yes.
That everyone experienced in childhood, where you don't know what you're scared of, but it's there.
But like, whatever it is,
it's going to get you.
Yeah.
So it's like whenever you think it's going to get me, what is that? And that's what Stephen King is trying to use as the monster in It.
Yeah. Irrational fear.
All right. So the film does pretty good of capturing that idea. You get a feeling of dread throughout, and it remains one of the best coming-of-age stories, second only to King's other adaptation, Stand By Me. I mean, I think it's, you know, I mean, there's yeah, several that have done it now.
It's hard to think of one. I mean, it's
hard
really
to think
is.
Of one better than, I mean, Stand By Me is like the pinnacle.
Yeah, obviously.
Like, I can't.
I mean, but that was the whole purpose of that.
Right.
Whereas that this is not necessary so much. This is that it is a nice sidebar in It.
I'm glad to watch this film again because my first viewing was so colored by my nostalgia for the 1990 miniseries starring Tim Curry. And while I do like the direction of the Pennywise character a little better in the miniseries, I think that that overall It 2017 is a superior film. We watched the miniseries to be able to compare it and to this film and the upcoming sequel that's coming out next week.
Yeah.
For us. And I don't know what to tell you. It does not hold up, the miniseries.
No.
There's some great ideas and there is some still impactful scenes and visuals.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. But it does not hold up in terms of, like, a film.
For a lot of reasons, though, right? I mean,
yeah, it's got, I mean, it's not easy. It's not fair to compare either because the production value and it's a TV show.
It's got every excuse in the world to be just awful, just very, very bad, and it's not. It just doesn't hold up very well. It was a miniseries made for TV in 1987 that released in 1990.
And while watching it, I understood why it impacted me so much when I was... I guess I was 8.
Yeah.
And
that's just prime time for being impressionable and like wowed by anything.
Yeah. But anyways, it is definitely a better film. Mostly because it's, you know, great production value, but also because it's a hard R.
Yeah. Yeah, a real hard R.
Yeah. It 2017 is one of the best mainstream general audience horror films that's come out in the last decade.
Oh, easily.
And the box office numbers show that. It's still the highest grossing horror film of all time.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Director Andy Muschietti keeps most of the dread from the source material and include some modern production and jump scares to appeal to fans of the Conjuring universe, which I'm not always a huge fan of, but it was upon second viewing, it wasn't as egregious as I remember it. It was kind of sprinkled throughout. It's not 100% jump scares. Overall, I really liked it. I liked it even more the second time watching it. I give it a score of 8 out of 10.
I think that's the score that I expected from you, if not a little lower even.
Yeah.
Like, knowing you and how you work. But for me, this was such a... It was like a signal that horror was back. Like, not just back, but like big, you know, like this, there was so much about the release of this film that just ended up delighting me, because it was like, everybody was excited for this. It was like, remember it? Because we've been discussing this, coming up to this moment. And, you know, The book was, I mean, probably still is the biggest horror novel ever.
Yeah,
ever
I mean,
written.
It was a huge phenomenon.
Yes,
and I think the only one that rivals it is the Shining.
Right. Yeah, but doesn't even like it is one of those titles and one of those you have the image of the book seared into your memory, because it was everywhere. It was in everyone's house. Mm-hmm. Everybody was interested in whatever this weird thing was. And so it was a phenomenon back then. And this movie tapped right back into that and got all those people re-excited about all this stuff. And so it was, and then the movie itself was so much fun for me and went so hard in the paint on the real disturbing content that you would hope it would, right? It didn't shy away from anything.
Well, it shied away from some things,
right?
That no one.
It's my understanding, though, that really blue stuff may be present in the second installment.
Yeah, I guess we won't go into spoilers of the novel, but
right.
We can talk about it in the spoiler section. But there's, if you read Stephen King, you know he's kind of a weird sex pervert.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's always a weird sexual element. There are like some subtle, I mean, maybe not too subtle. There's some sexual kind of content in this film, but not what's in the novel.
Yeah, no, a lot of illusions of, you know,
yeah,
touching kids and weird shit and
right.
Like,
yeah.
But it adds that really unstable feeling terror element to the movie. And I think this is a 9, and when it was released, it was probably a 10.
Well, how do you go down?
Because it is not a fun movie to necessarily to rewatch for me. I know this was a really great movie on first viewing. Like, it just doesn't have very much replay value for me. And I realized that even in the theater as I was watching it, I was like, there's not going to be a second time for this, because it is a jump scare factory, and all the things that worked really well for me were those big horrifying jump scares.
Yeah. I think 9 is fair, but I don't know. I understand that like most people would rate this at like a 9 out of 10, but for some reason it just doesn't make it there for me.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to overthink it, but
yeah, I know.
All right, so before we get into spoilers, let's talk about a few things. Number one, as we mentioned, we have a Patreon page where you can support the show, and now we need you more than ever because we need to buy a new mic.
Dude.
Our mic just started buzzing for some reason, and it's definitely just the mic.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, one of the more expensive components.
And important.
And important, you know. We don't want to share a mic.
No,
because that's just awkward.
Yeah, and we have We may have to dip into our fart mic fund.
So we have three mics. One's like kind of a really low end mic that I'm talking into. Probably you can't tell, but we usually use some. This is boring. Who cares about this?
Yeah.
Anyways, check out our Patreon. You get access to exclusive patron content. We do after pods after every episode we do. We keep the mics running and kind of talk about what's going on with our lives or any other drama that's happening. And
lots of drama recently. Yeah. Lots of drama recently. Now's a good time to get in on that.
And then we also will put out just random bonus episode kind of stuff. So we'll be doing a kind of a mini pod on the It miniseries from 1990. We'll be talking a little bit about it today and in It Chapter 2 episode, but we'll do like a full dedicated episode to that and release that to our patrons. Also, we've done an episode on Chernobyl on like the first episode, and then we kind of petered out.
Well, I don't think the other episodes were as notable.
I think 2 was still great, and like the last one was pretty good.
They definitely were. If you're talking horror, though, that first episode is bar none.
Yeah. Well, wasn't the second episode where the guy has to go on top of the tower and look into, or was that the first one?
Yeah, no, that was the first one. Yeah, the second one was when the helicopters were flying over. Oh, yeah,
the
second one was
the helicopter.
Oh. Okay.
So check out our Patreon page. You'll find a link on Horror Movie Talk in the banner. There's a link to Patreon or a link to Amazon. If you're going to buy something from Amazon, click through our website to do that, because when you do that, we get a little slice of whatever you pay to them. So if you're going to watch a movie that we're reviewing, if you buy or rent any movie or really any product on Amazon, we'll get support from that.
Yeah, and that's horrormovietalk.com.
So another thing that we've recently started pushing is, if you want to write for us, if you enjoy horror movies and want to write for Horror Movie Talk, our blog, guess what? We're accepting new writers for our blog. If that sounds like fun to you, it is. Just reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll be happy to see what you got.
Show us what you got. Yeah, we already had somebody take us up on that, and they're considering mulling it over and thinking about writing.
Yeah, one of our patrons.
Yeah. And we sure do appreciate that. And we've been writing about horror for a year now. It's a blast.
Mm-hmm.
So give it a shot.
Yeah, usually by the time we get done editing the episode and writing the post for the episode, we're pretty tapped out for time for writing.
Yeah.
For the website. So
we have 5 kids between us.
Yeah, we know that we have some passionate people out there that have strong opinions and knowledge about horror movies. So why not write for our blog?
And you don't have to be the best speller. I'm an editor, like, by profession. So I can gussy your shit up and make you sound smart, bro.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, sorry, this took a little too long for the mid-roll, but let's just say thank you for listening and sticking it out.
Yeah.
Let's get into spoilers.
Spoilers. Dude, before we actually do spoilers, I'm going to do a little bit more mid-roll right now, because thank you guys so much for listening to the show. The amount of growth that we're seeing, the amount of downloads we're seeing now, we're really, I'm in a place where I'm so excited. I'm constantly getting more amped up for Horror Movie Talk as time progresses, and there's seemingly no downside. There's seemingly, I'm just waiting for for the spot where I'm going to be hugely let down, and it never comes. So thank you so much, guys. I really do appreciate you.
Right. Every time it kind of levels off in our stats for download numbers, it shoots back up again, like pretty consistently up and to the right for downloads. And just this last week, we kind of had a frustrating time because an episode didn't post right the file. was posted weird, so you couldn't listen to it on all the platforms, and it took a while for everything to refresh.
Yeah.
But even with that, and with this being a shorter month than last month in terms of how many episodes we released, we're still almost
at
the amount of downloads that we had last month,
which is huge.
Yeah.
So thank you.
So thank you again. So yeah, let's talk about it.
What about it?
Let's talk about it, baby.
Okay.
Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the bad clowns. So the opening scene of It is probably the strongest of the movie, and it's really what sells the whole story.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly consistent between the book, the miniseries, and this movie.
Because it works.
Because it works so well.
Yeah, it sure does.
Here's a clip of Pennywise and his introduction.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Where is it? Here we go.
Hiya, Georgie. What a nice boat. Do you want it back?
Yes, please.
You look like a nice boy. I bet you have a lot of friends.
Three, but my brother's my best ass.
Where is he?
In bed, sick.
I bet I could cheer him up. I'll give him a balloon. Do you want a balloon too, Georgie?
I'm not supposed to take stuff from strangers.
Oh, well, I'm Pennywise the Dancing Clown. Pennywise? Yes, meet Georgie. Georgie, meet Pennywise. Now we aren't strangers, are we?
And then here's, since I pulled it, here's the 1990 version for comparison.
Hi, Georgie. Aren't you going to say hello? Oh, come on, bucko. Don't you want a balloon?
I'm not supposed to take stuff from strangers. My dad said so.
Very wise of your dad, Georgie. Very wise indeed. I, Georgie, am Pennywise, the Dancing Clown. You are Georgie. So now we know each other. Correct?
I guess so. I gotta go.
Go? Without this?
Yeah, so I guess the setup, if you've never seen it or read it. So
if you've been hiding in a drain somewhere.
So this scene, it has Georgie going to his brother, Bill, right?
Skarsgård? Yes,
Bill. He goes to Bill, and it's raining outside, and he asks him to make a paper boat for him to play with. And so Bill's kind of sick, and then Georgie goes down to get some wax.
Yeah.
To paint the boat or whatever, so it'll float. And that's the great scene too, where it kind of sets up the concept of it going to get you. And so he's scared of the dark.
Yeah.
And then he goes out and starts floating the boat, and it flows down a
dark
storm
drain.
Yeah. And then inside the drain is this clown.
And it's like, hey, what's that clown doing in that drain?
And so Pennywise introduces himself, And see, this is why it's so great, because I mean, it's hard to like explain why it works so good, but
it works.
Having a clown inside a storm drain, if you're a little kid,
yes,
like the logic of it, like somehow makes sense, but you also know that it's wrong.
Yes, there's a little standoffishness because, well, wait a minute, there's a man in the drain, but it's a clown, like this.
Yeah.
So there's like something that's weird, but also something that's good, and so you put those together and. And that's how little kid logic works.
Right.
It's like how your kid walks up to you and is like, my name's Pinky Purple. And you're like, yeah, okay. And then they're happy with that. They're just like, they're like, they take you going, all right, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ah, validation. You're like, that's the least satisfying validation ever. But they're just looking for the surface level. And so that's how the clown in the drain works. Cause it's like, it is off-putting, but also it's a clown.
Yeah. It explores several things about the relationship between children and adults in terms of their fears and the danger that they face. First is adults just generally don't care. Like, that's a theme that's really explored in this film, that part of the supernatural occurrences that the adults in this town turn a blind eye to all these children missing and getting murdered.
Yeah.
Just, they are abnormally ambivalent about it. And there's something about that to where you can relate to if you remember back as a kid, where real shit is happening in your life and no adult cares or understands what's going on because it can't be that bad. They're kids.
Yes.
And then the other aspect is that adults are actually dangerous.
Right.
That an adult in a clown costume could actually be wanting to kill you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, someone could want to rape you or, you know, not have your best interest at heart, even though they're an adult and you're kind of beholden to them.
Yeah.
So there's lots of like really cool areas that the story explores in terms of fear and childhood and the relationships between children and adults, and it's really great.
All of those are things that Stephen King is seemingly just very obsessed with.
Yeah.
Or at least he was in his early career.
Yeah. So Pennywise is introduced, and it's just such a great, like,
man, the Skarsgård is so perfect for this. He just plays it just dead on. The voice, the dead stare, the drool that's dripping out of his huge lip.
Yeah, see, here's where we might diverge, because I actually do like Tim Curry's Pennywise.
I love better. Tim Curry's.
It's not very different, especially watching them back to back. I realized that Curry's Pennywise is actually still super menacing.
Yeah.
When he's talking to the kids. Cause I remember it being kind of like just a clown, you know, just like he's a goofy ass clown.
Yeah.
But something's off because he's in a storm drain. But in reality, Curry's voice is still really menacing as Pennywise talking to the kids. And so I was kind of latched onto the voice with Bill Skarsgård. Like, I thought it was too scary how he played the clown. But it's actually pretty similar, and I think he did do a really good job of when I watched it the second time. But the thing that's missing from It 2017 is there's no real moments where Pennywise is being just a clown.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
In the miniseries, there is moments
that
where
intro,
the setup.
The intro that you played, he is being kind of just a clown.
Right.
But after that, almost never.
Right. Like, in the miniseries, it usually sets up some of the more menacing Pennywise scenes with him just being a clown, like just being kind of a goofy, like playing with noisemakers and, oh damn, I forgot to pull that clip, but we can get it. Playing with like noisemakers and like telling really shitty jokes, but also, you know, making balloons filled with blood pop in your face.
Yeah.
And, you know, monstrous hands grabbing at you kind of thing, which to me makes it more terrifying. Because it's there's something scary about a really,
yeah,
really goofy clown coming after you versus a scary clown that's made to be scary.
You know, going back to Skarsgård versus Curry, I think I prefer Skarsgård. They're both great. It's hard to compare them, really,
right.
And it's just a matter of taste. I think what bothers me a little bit about the Curry clown is, first of all, he's perfect to play the It clown,
right?
Because he's got that face that's just kind of carny-esque.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like too big.
Yeah, it's too big. It's tired looking. It's 55-year-old smoker who's been smoking since he's 7.
Right.
And but simultaneously, it's not a good pick because it's Tim fucking Curry, and it's like, you know, it's just one of those guys who is so universally known for who he is that it kind of brings me out of it a little bit. I just go, that's Tim Curry. That's Tim Curry every time I go, oh, look, there's Tim Curry right there.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's the voice. His voice is Pennywise can go from just goofy to super menacing very easily.
Yeah. Yeah. And Skarsgård, I was so shocked at how well he was able to portray just the most evil and menacing clown ever. Just like, if you want a scary goddamn clown, he is it.
Yeah. No pun intended. Yeah. Bill Skarsgård is great in it.
That family.
The trivia talks about how he researched different
psychos.
So you looked at Norman Bates and The Shining. What's his name from The Shining?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Clockwork Orange. Just all these. I mean, sounds like mostly Stanley Kubrick psycho films. So really, like, you know, looking up through your eyebrows kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's like the major Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Signal of evil. But it's great. So the major way that this film divulges from the miniseries
diverges.
Yeah, you're right. Is that it's a hard R.
Yeah.
And it is genuinely shocking when Georgie Arms gets ripped fucking clean off.
Yeah. It sets the tone for the whole movie. It just goes, oh, we're going for it.
We're doing this.
Yeah. We're mutilating little kids.
Right. And it's adorable little kid.
Oh, man. He's even cuter than the Georgie from the original.
Right. Which is also very cute. I mean, they're both really cute little child actors. So Georgie's arms get ripped off, and then the cat on the porch gives the same reaction that I have, which is like,
whoa,
what the fuck?
Hey, whoa, what happened?
My question to you, so is this the best child cast ever?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, aside from maybe, what's that, Stephen King?
Stand by me.
I mean, that might be a little better. River Phoenix and...
Yeah, I don't even know. I bet if we watch that, then we could realize some of the nostalgia.
Yeah, maybe.
Might be affecting that, like it Corey was with
Feldman.
The miniseries with me. Yeah, I mean, it might be the best child cast. Like, it's surprising how good...
It's really strong.
These actors
It's why Stranger Things works so well, right? You know,
right.
It's just a perfectly cast kid lineup.
Yeah. And there's one that's in both.
Right. The best one.
Richie.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the best one.
From Stranger Things, he definitely is. And in this movie, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think I liked Eddie and Bill a little better in this film.
Yeah, I mean, they're all so good.
Yeah, they're all good. But yeah, I mean, even like, I just finished the third season of Stranger Things, and it's already like,
I haven't even bothered.
They've met their limit. It's like they're getting annoying, and their bag of tricks is pretty limited.
Yeah,
at that age.
Yeah, it's.
But for some reason, with this film, they really found like a really good mix of kids that could pull it off.
Yeah, and the bullies in this are perfect.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely bullies being bullies.
Yeah. They're the meanest fucking bullies in the entire world.
Yeah. I mean, that is the difference between, you know, generic bullies and the gang of Henry, what's his last name?
Winkler.
Henry Winkler. So Henry is like the main bully, and he's got a gang of friends that have their own gimmicks, apparently. So there's the guy that belches.
Belch.
His name's Belch.
Yeah.
And there's the guy that likes fire. But Henry is
the prodigy.
Genuinely terrifying in this film in particular because he is really a psychopath.
Yeah, he's
like convincingly a psychopath.
He's clearly a kid that who has been, I mean, and he, what a great actor. Like they went to him and they were like, your dad beats the shit out of you every night. Okay, go. And that's the kid who he portrays, a kid who is just savagely beaten by his cop father and who's told he's worthless, and just that shit rolls right downhill to all the other kids in school.
Yeah. And there's also some mean girls that are in like the opening of the film, but that never appear again.
Yeah, that's right.
That felt kind of tacked on, but
token
it was just,
mean girls.
But it was just like, people are mean to Bev too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have to like put that in the film, because I think it's bad enough that she's kind of raped by her father all the time. I mean, that's enough.
But also slut shaming.
Yeah, but also slut shaming. That's right. I guess that's the purpose of those mean girls, is to accuse her of being a slut.
Yeah, but I mean, it works. It all sets it up perfectly to have you feel real empathy for these kids. To really feel like, okay, now you're part of the losers club, you know? Right.
Yeah, the Henry gang that torments the losers club is really great, and how they set up him displaying his psychopathy is great. That he attacks Ben, the fat kid.
Oh, man.
And let me say, great casting for the fat kid. Sometimes, I mean, I was a fat kid growing up, so when they cast fat kids and they're just kind of chubby.
Yeah, like Chunk from...
It just made me feel miserable. Like, oh, everyone's ridiculing the kid that's like
kind of
a little
fat.
Overweight.
Who's just...
And I'm like, actually fat.
Bryce, you're not fat. You're husky. I hated that more. That made me feel worse than if my mom was just like, look at you, fat fucking slob. If she said, look at you, you fat fucking slob, I'd have felt better than if she was like, no, you're just husky. No, that was my kryptonite. I was just like, oh, God, I want to die.
I really identified with Ben in this film. It's like, you know, when he takes off his shirt, it's like, yeah, he's a fat kid.
Yeah. And this is another, but this is like the second portion of the movie, that where the gang is quote unquote picking on Ben, when in reality, they're fucking carving their name into his stomach.
Yes.
And this is another signal where it's like, Jesus Christ, this movie is not fucking around at all. What is happening? And sorry about that. And it is just so shocking and also kind of believable. You're like, yeah, this could happen. Right. I remember being a kid. There were fucking really tense moments.
If there was an actual psychopath when I was growing up, yeah, I could envision having initials carved into my stomach.
I remember moments, and I can't even like pull them out singularly, but I definitely remember moments where I was like, things are super serious right now and my life might be in danger. Like, you know, and this is that feeling of things are very bad. And then the car rolls by as these kids are cutting him up.
Yeah.
And carving his name, Henry, into Ben's stomach.
He gets a full H, and it's like not like scrapes. It's really,
it's gonna need stitches.
Cutting into him hard. And then he kicks him and falls down the hill, which is probably the more frightening thing.
And then he screams, I'm going to cut your fucking tits off.
Yeah.
It's like, good God. And this, so basically all that to say, this movie fucks. Yeah. Like, it fucks.
Yeah. It's really great. And, oh, I forgot to play my clips of Belch.
Oh, yeah, play Belch.
So here's, I love the idea that there's a character named Belch who his whole purpose is just to belch.
Yeah, he's the Belcher.
And I almost wish they did it more, if it was just more ridiculous, if it was literally that's all he did was belch at people.
I think you're onto something. I want this character to exist.
Yeah.
This.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was bravo.
There you go.
Here's Belch from It 2017. It's almost like he was just in the room.
I got better than that. Come on now.
And then here's, just for comparison's sake, since I pulled it, here's a 1990 Belch.
90 Belch is
90 way, Belch is way better.
He goes way harder.
And also, he's way more goofy in that miniseries. So yeah, in this film, that the Henry gang is, it's basically like Biff Tannen's gang in, in Back to the Future, but way more menacing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is like Biff Tannen's gang. I never thought about that.
Okay. So then we go to Bill, who's the brother of Georgie that got his arm ripped off, and Bill goes back to his house and his dad's in the garage and like, Bill, what is this shit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's got all his habit trails set up and Bill is showing his theory of where Georgie is or where he could have gone.
Bill misses his little brother terribly.
Yeah.
And as a way of coping with it, he's trying to strategize to find his little brother in the sewer system.
Yeah. And, his dad is really sick of his shit at this point.
God damn it, Georgie's dead!
Let's see, just a second. I got it.
But if the storm swept Georgie in, we should have gone.
He's gone! He's dead!
Jesus.
God. Which isn't, you know, it's not too sympathetic for your son that lost.
Well, he just lost his son. He's going through a hard time too. He doesn't know how to react. This is,
but more importantly,
well, where am I supposed to put my habit trails?
If you guys want to see a hilariously fun movie, check out The Evil Within. It's free on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, we have an episode on it very, very early. I think that's like a third. Or wait, is that the one that we held off forever?
Yeah, it's like 15.
No. That was we held off the.
It's like
the
seven
evil,
or eight.
The Evil, whatever.
Within.
Yeah, The Evil Within is a very early episode. So, I just pulling that clip, watching some of that dialogue, it's just so. It's literally feels like The Room.
Yeah. It's very strange.
But it's a horror movie. It's very odd.
It's free.
It needs more attention.
It does need more attention. Y'all need to go to Amazon and watch The Evil Within. It is a strange gem of a bad, very good, bad horror movie that y'all should check out.
Bill's dad is sick of his shit. And there's another adult that's just like, there's nothing going on. Just let things lie as they are.
Yeah, very one-dimensional. You know, but I think that brings up a good point because that clip featured Bill's stutter pretty heavily. And I think I think we're woke enough to the point where I think we need to start asking, should that role have gone to someone with a real stutter? Those people do exist and they need roles too. So why did you get an actor to do it?
Right.
Why did you get somebody who doesn't have a stutter to do a stutter? Those people need work too.
Right. And why didn't you give the role of Pennywise to someone with Parkinson's?
Or a real clown.
Because every time he attacks the camera, he's really shaky.
Yeah. A real clown with Parkinson's.
Right.
Someone who has been a clown and identifies as a clown. I identify as a clown. Just new boot goofing.
It does an excellent job of showing the different fears of the different kids. So each kid basically gets their own little vignette of their fears. I think the miniseries and the book does a little better job of doing this. Some of the ones in this film are definitely tacked on to be...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Just a generic jump scare
thing,
or a device that they wanted a scene in the film, so they made a fear around it.
Right. And it lands, like, as a tool to scare, it does land. It's just a throwaway.
Yeah. Or it's just a little obvious what they're trying to do.
Right.
So Georgie, is his fear is great. Just the fear of the dark. Fear of just being a little kid and not understanding what's going on. Bill, his fear of just losing Georgie and really wanting Georgie back and that being played on is great. Mike, the black kid in this one, is haunted by the memory of his parents burning in a horrible fire.
Which you wrote next to this note. You said meh.
Yeah. It didn't...
You fucking monster.
It was kind of like... I don't know. It just didn't work for me as much as I think they wanted it to.
Yeah. I mean, well, he wasn't very fleshed out as a character.
Yeah.
And so it was hard. I mean,
They took away a big part of his character from the original character. He's the guy that knows all about the town history. Like, for some reason, he's really into history. And they...
In the miniseries, in this one, that's Ben.
Right.
Yeah.
And in the book, it's Mike as well that knows all the town history and stuff. Mm. But they attribute all that to Ben in this, yeah, in this film.
It's the fat kid who knows history, not the...
Which is fine. Yeah. And then, let's see, Stanley, he's got the fear that is the least good one, which is a creepy painting.
And that they lean on the most. I feel like they're like, the creepy painting lady is really working for us. And it's like,
yeah,
stop
I mean,
it.
this is where they take it right out of The Conjuring. I mean, this is literally like the nun from The Conjuring.
Yes.
And they're like, well, this will work. Let's shove that in. And it feels shoved in.
Yeah.
In the original, what is it? Stanley, what was his fear? Stanley was... Richie's the funny kid, right?
Well, no, not in the miniseries. In the 2017, yeah, Richie's fast talking and funny, but in the miniseries, he's very diminutive and kept clean by his mother.
No, that's Eddie. That's
consistent. Oh, I'm sorry.
Richie is Seth Green in the miniseries.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So Stanley, it's kind of weird. In this movie, he's Jewish. They like lean on to the fact that he's Jewish. And in the miniseries, he's a Boy Scout and lean heavily on the fact that he's a Boy Scout. And I can't remember which it is in the book.
You talking about Seth Green?
No. Stanley.
We're switching kids too fast here.
Okay. In the miniseries, do you remember the kid that's the Boy Scout?
Yes.
He is Stanley.
Yeah.
In this film, do you remember the kid that's Jewish and has the scary painting coming after him?
Yes.
That's Stanley.
Okay.
Okay. So, I can't remember what Stanley's fear in the miniseries was.
Yeah,
I don't think it actually shows it. I think that's the thing that they do, like the thing that comes after. Oh, no. It was the mummy.
Skeleton.
No, it was the mummy.
Yeah.
In the miniseries.
Yeah.
And this one, it was just a scary painting.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't land as well.
Yeah. I mean, the mummy doesn't land really well either, but...
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing with, like, having it around kids. It's more convincing that they're scared by lame things, because if you remember what you were scared of as a kid...
Yeah. It was lame shit.
It was like the mummy. It was like the Wolfman.
It's why this movie works so well, is because kids are scared of actual scary shit.
Yeah.
Kids are scared of shit that lives in a closet. And now you're like, nothing lives in the closet. But if something does live in the closet, holy shit, that's scary.
Right.
Like, you're scared of like financial like issues. And that's not really scary. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah. What if they made the sequel for It Chapter 2 was just based on adult fears, and it was just the personification of bills or the personification of not having enough money for retirement.
I think the way if you... Yeah, exactly. It's
or like a laying on your fears of your body just kind of slowly breaking down.
Oh, yeah. Like, ow. Like, I woke up today. I got a new ache. My shoulder won't ever stop hurting for the rest of my life.
Well, this is it. This is how I go. That's pretty much everything. Every time something happens in my body that hurts, I'm just like, well, this is it. This is what my experience is from now on.
Yeah. Add it to the, just add another thing on to my back.
Yeah. So Ben's thing is the headless kid coming after him. He's like researching the past of the town, and a big part of it is this explosion that happens on Easter,
mm-hmm.
and there's a headless kid that starts attacking him, and that's another one that's just kind of tacked on because it also feels like something from a jump scare movie of
it does
a headless kid running after you with jiggly motion.
Something to note in all this. The 2017 It was released in 3D, and they leaned heavily on things running at the audience.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of shit running and reaching and jumping toward the screen.
Yeah.
And so that is a theme here, and it's why it worked really well on first viewing for me. And then second time around, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. This movie is just a bunch of shit running at me. Like,
Ooh.
But while you were watching that shit in the theater, it's like, oh, golly, I got to run away. Like, it was panic-inducing.
Yeah. The last one that feels kind of tacked on is Richie. He just says in this film that he's afraid of clowns. And Richie is kind of the wisecracker of the group. And he says he's afraid of clowns, and the whole purpose of that is so that he can get trapped in a room full of clowns. And it's like, all right, they wanted a room full of clowns, and so they gave him a fear of clowns.
Yeah.
It's very obvious. In the original, he's the one that's scared of the Wolfman, which I get it, doesn't work that great, but
it's the same thing. Clowns, Wolfman, that's the same thing.
The ones that do work is Eddie. He's afraid of germs. He's the one that's like really doted on by his mom. That's kind of a Munchausen by proxy mom. And his Pennywise or it attacks him with a leper.
Yeah. Like a dude with a big club foot and
missing a nose.
Yeah. Missing a nose. And he's just hacking up goop all the time. And he's got a pill for Eddie to swallow. And he's constantly like, swallow the pill. And he's like, Jesus Christ, please no.
Yeah. And then Bev, the girl, hers isn't necessarily
Richie.
A fear. What?
Oh no, Eddie. I'm sorry.
That was Eddie.
Yeah.
The germs. And then Bev, the girl, has probably the best sequence, but it isn't necessarily attached to a fear. It's more of like, this is a pretty awesome sequence to do, which is the blood coming out of the sink.
Yeah.
She hears the voices in the sink, and then all of a sudden, the blood comes out. And I don't know. You could say that this is a little over the top, because it's literally every crevice of the bathroom is covered with blood.
It's crazy.
Like, everywhere. Yeah. Like, underneath... It's like someone took a power washer and with blood and just sprayed everything and got every nook and cranny. There's no, if you're like a blood splatter analyst, like you would not be able to identify where the source of the blood came from.
Yeah. Remember Evil Dead 2? where he shoots the wall and then that little drip of blood comes out. And then it's a fire hydrant of blood. Uh-huh. Or similar scene, Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, with the right. the bed that sucks him down.
But even then, like, it doesn't cover the entire room and, like, underneath the bed with
yeah.
blood.
Yeah, it's a full-blown Rob Zombie scene.
Which is kind of weird, like, the set decorator probably went a little overboard on it.
Great.
Because in the scene, she's talking to her dad is like, what's wrong? And she's like, the sink. And it's like, well, I mean, even pointing at the sink is kind of like, no, it's everywhere. Just say the everything. Look anywhere in the bathroom. It's covered in blood.
You see how the bath. You remember what color the walls in the bathroom
remember
were?
Remember how things were different colors in the bathroom?
They were. I mean, maybe you don't remember the exact color, but it wasn't blood, right? It wasn't like blood red.
Yeah. And that's also the most effective demonstration of the parents just not seen anything that the kids see. And then also her fear is just, you know, getting raped by her dad.
Reasonable fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what your dad does, very reasonable.
Yeah. Super creepy. Okay. What else should we talk about? Let's talk about this librarian.
Librarian?
Librarian. So Ben is really into reading books. And researching, and the librarian comes up to him, hands him a book, and she's her whole attitude is like, why are you reading so many books?
She's the worst librarian ever. Like, she, first of all, she's cast very well. She's just written poorly because she's this old doting lady who you would expect to be a librarian. She is your classic, you know, that. She is a librarian-looking lady. She comes up to him. She gives him a book, and she's like, isn't school over? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, why are you reading so many books?
Shouldn't you be outside?
Kids are supposed to. And then she goes on to lecture him about what? About not going to the library.
Don't you have any friends?
Like, the summer is for being outside. Like, not reading books about the history of the city we're in. Idiot. And then she walks away. She's like, fuck you.
Yeah. Here's a clip.
Found it. Isn't it summer vacation? I would think you'd be ready to take a break from the books.
I like it in here.
A boy should be spending his summer outside with friends. Don't you have any friends?
I have the book now.
Bitch.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that was a great, like, just side thing. In the book, the librarian just is really concerned for Ben.
Which, like, makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Like, he's in there every day kind of thing, so she knows him, and she wishes that he had more friends.
Yeah.
But she keeps it to herself. She isn't like, hey, go outside, fatty.
Man, it would have been great if she'd have gone into, like, a lecture about how fat he was. She's like, you know.
The other thing, I mean, yes, this is definitely a better film. There are some things that I want to point out that are better in the miniseries in terms of, like, structure.
Maybe we should save that for the miniseries.
No, we'll talk about it too. But
okay.
But basically, how they get introduced in the miniseries is more convincing and closer to the book, which is it happens much more organically. Like, and the reason why they meet feels very much more like a kid activity that other kids would be into, which is mainly building a dam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is an activity that I think every kid has done.
Down in the barrens.
Yeah. Going down in the water runoff area and being like, got lots of sticks and mud and stones here.
Let's build a dam.
Build a dam. And so they kind of start doing that, and there's new ones that kind of get introduced because that water runoff area is kind of a natural area to run away from bullies.
Yeah.
And in this movie, they just kind of all know each other.
Yeah.
Already. The only ones that get introduced are Ben, Bev, and Mike.
Yeah, but they get introduced in decent ways. Like, Ben gets introduced because they hear him getting beaten up.
Right.
You know, and then they run. They're like, well, we can't just let somebody just beat on some kid. So they go down there to help him, and then,
right.
then they do.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the purpose for, like,
oh, no, that wasn't Ben. That was the black kid.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike, yeah.
It just felt, it felt less organic. It was fine. It just felt not as relatable.
I don't know. Bryce, maybe I'm nitpicking.
Yeah, Bryce is has way too much nostalgia for the first one, and it shows right now.
Okay. One of the great things about this group of kids is the joking banter throughout. Like,
great.
It's very convincing, more so than the miniseries.
Oh, much more. Yeah. Because the miniseries had their hands tied, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, you can't put a lot of this stuff on TV, whereas you can definitely fit it into an R movie.
Yeah. Here's Eddie going off about Greywater.
Aren't you guys coming in?
Uh-uh. It's Greywater.
What the hell is Greywater?
It's basically piss and shit, so I'm just telling you. You guys are splashed around in millions of gallons of dairy pee. So, are you serious?
It doesn't smell like caca to me, senor.
Okay, I can smell that from here.
It's probably just your breath wafting back into your face.
Have you ever heard of a staph infection?
Also, a staph infection.
So unsanitary.
Yeah, it's great.
It's probably just your breath wafting back into your face.
Lots of your mom jokes and, like, talking about each other's mom's pussies and stuff. Like, it feels much more real about what the shit that kids would talk about.
Isn't that weird that that's what feels real?
Well, yeah. I mean,
talking about your mom's pussy.
That's why South Park works, is because kids are foul-mouthed.
Oh, man, are they ever. But it's just so strange that, like, that is the truth probably throughout all of history, is like, no, it doesn't make sense for it to be like cute banter. It makes sense for it to be your mom's pussy.
Yeah.
Like, throughout human history.
Yeah.
Kid banter is that.
I think they all group together and they all figure out that they're all tormented by the same clown.
Yeah.
Pennywise. And they bond over that. And then they all decide to get to the bottom of it and get rid of this clown however they can. And they kind of latch on pretty early that Pennywise only has power if they're afraid of him.
Right.
He's less powerful if you know that it's just a figment of your imagination.
It's very much a John F. Kennedy, the only thing to fear is fear itself kind of thing.
Right. So... Pennywise, throughout this movie, the other thing that I kind of have a beef with, and I've already talked about it, is the shaky clown syndrome. And I wish they were more creative with how Pennywise attacked the kids. There are some creative ways that he attacks, but for the most part, it's show fangs, run towards the camera very shakily.
Yeah, there's a lot of pensive staring as well.
Yeah, but that's not an attack. That's just like... I mean, I think in the book and in the miniseries, it plays more on each kid's individual fear, or like
there's some
just doing unexpected things.
There's like, some aggressive balloon chases.
Yeah.
Some balloon advancements.
So, like, a great scene from the miniseries is the shower scene, where Pennywise like comes out of the drain,
claymations his hands into the drain and widens it.
Yeah,
yeah, that. I don't know why, but that scene very specifically sticks with me as like being very disturbing. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember as a kid being like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You just pull the drain open like that?
Bev, the girl in this movie, is super effective, and she is a creep magnet, and yeah, I don't know how much I can say without incriminating myself.
Yeah, Bryce is being very careful with his words. She's a creep magnet, all right. We'll just we'll just say that, and Bryce can sit here being all creepy.
I mean, what do you think of Bev, David?
Well, God damn, look at those hot children.
David.
It's gonna haunt me until I die.
Yeah, I mean she's very striking. Her appearance, I totally understand why she'd be a creep magnet.
Yeah, and she's gorgeous.
She's like, I mean, not only attacked by her dad, but there's like a creepy pharmacist that's super, super schlubby.
Yeah, there's...
That she like takes advantage of.
There's a thing that this movie plays on and they're not, they don't shy away from, which is There's something very attractive about a young girl knowing she's very attractive and using it to her advantage.
I mean, not even that. I think she's just very friendly and very, like...
She's aware of herself. And,
well, I mean, she's... What do you call it? She's flirtatious.
Right.
She understands the power of flirting.
I mean, yeah, so...
But she's not, like, a temptress or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a pretty thin line. I mean, you know, so... I don't know. What would you say about a girl... A girl who approaches a pharmacist and is like, hey, you look, with those glasses, you look kind of like Clark Kent. And then when he plays back into her thing in a very creepy way, she's like, you know, it's like,
yeah, I guess there's that,
you know, it's just,
I mean, if you're told like by everyone that you're a slut and you've probably never actually had sex,
yeah,
well, other than, you know, with your dad raping
other
you,
than the rape,
then yeah, I think you'd like use it to your advantage.
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing with that. It's just something that this movie uses very effectively.
Yeah, they don't show it. And then like this is probably the most effective portrayal of preteen
sexuality. Yeah. Yeah.
Of the girl appearing in the group of boys and the boys are all just like, huh.
That one scene where she's sunning herself,
yeah,
after they go swimming and all the boys are just sitting there like just in awe of this.
Yes.
You know, this is the ultimate nostalgia because I can really I mean, this was all of high school for me, just being like, look at those beautiful creatures. Look at them, but don't go near.
Yeah.
Like, don't. Yeah. Do not approach them because you will scare them away. Your terrible, ugly face will terrify them and they'll...
It's a completely mysterious force.
Mm-hmm.
The power that an attractive woman can have over a young boy, and they do not have the facility to handle it.
They're so... Like... I'm so glad I have girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because just looking at, they're so far advanced compared to what, and I think back on myself and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I was ill-equipped. Like I was just so dopey, you know? And I mean, I guess everybody's dopey and I'm probably giving too much credit to anybody just because I, it says too much about me, but man, that feeling of being a young lad with lots of hormones going through me and then just not knowing what to do with my hands, you know, just being like, I got nothing. I just wish I had something.
Yeah.
Man, wouldn't it be great if I had something? And this movie captures that pretty great in a couple different scenes with the boys admiring Bev.
Yeah. Yeah.
And always with respect. You know,
yeah,
always the way that I remember it, and it's the other people, the people outside of this group that are perverted and weird, the people who are calling her a slut or a whore or whatever it is. They're the creepy ones because they view her that way. These kids don't. They respect her.
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing with the Losers Club is that they're in awe that she's around them.
Right.
And they don't want to ruin a good thing.
Don't scare her away.
But they can't treat her like just one of them because she has this power over them, which I don't think even women understand.
Mm-mm.
What that's like. They just don't understand the power or the energy that's created from like a young boy. It's attracted.
Any boy. Man, now, like...
Yeah, even now, but especially at that age.
Oh, yeah.
You're just barely breaking through puberty. It's like...
It is weird. It's the amount of just confused, conflicted, and impressively strong feelings are...
Yeah, if you think about all the stories that are told or all the myths that are told over history are mostly... to help explain or manage the feelings of that, of going through puberty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all the superhero stories of getting new powers. Like it's basically explaining that. Like, all of a sudden...
It's a parent trying really hard not to be too obvious that they're given the sex talk.
Right. Like, all of a sudden, it's this extreme source of energy and anxiety and, like, impetus.
Yeah.
Toward something that you have...
No power
no exposure to, yeah. But all of a sudden, you know exactly what you want.
Yep.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's very, very effective. This is a movie where if you... No, never mind.
Okay. You guys can make up your minds about what he was going to say.
Uh-huh. I'll say it. So... You know how there's nothing more creepy about people on Reddit explaining the difference between an ephebophile and a pedophile?
No, I don't know. Can you? So I really don't know.
I've come across this a couple times, and there's something very pathetic about it.
I don't understand.
So ephebophile is like drawing a difference between a pedophile, which is... A kid, someone that's sexually attracted to young children, and a ephebophile is someone that's attracted to, like, a just barely post-pubescent.
Oh, so
kid,
underage, so, but teens.
So, like, yeah, like a 14 to 16 year old,
okay,
kind of thing would be an ephebophile.
Yeah,
if you're attracted to. Young girls that are...
So it's people trying to justify their legal pedophilia.
Right. Well, and it's not even legal. It's just saying, like, this is a different thing. And like, I mean...
Right. They're basically saying, like, yeah, it's not technically legal, but it makes sense evolutionarily.
Right.
Which is, yeah, it's true, but also, don't touch kids.
Right. So whenever I see someone talking about, like, it's not pedophilia, it's ephebophilia. I'm like, you're a creep.
Yeah.
Just like if that's the hill you're gonna die on,
yeah.
Like drawing that line, like no one wants to be around you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It has nothing to yeah.
And so this movie would definitely be a movie where there'd be those people explaining the difference between pedophilia and ephebophilia just to make themselves feel a little
yeah,
better.
And the answer to that is, yeah, sure, evolutionarily, yeah, they're it makes sense evolutionarily, but you know what it doesn't make sense? They're not, they don't have the capacity to make good decisions because they're still, in their mind, they're still a kid.
Right.
They got a lot of maturing to do. Like, I'm just barely an adult right now, and I'm 35.
I think in terms of, like, brain maturity, your brain doesn't stop growing and developing until, like, you're 25. Like, that's when you reach a point where you can actually make good decisions,
yeah.
Basically.
And it's
like
just
like, everything else is you actually do not have the ability to make long-term decisions.
Right. And it's not fair for it's so creepy and terrible for an adult to even to go, you know, and essentially prey on, you know, 18 to 23, 4, 5 year olds.
It's just
it feels like preying on something.
Yeah.
Because it is. It kind of is.
Right.
Yeah.
Not to say that I wouldn't want to, but it's wrong.
Right.
I can recognize that.
Ephebophilia.
I don't know. So I'm 37. Like, where's the line for 37? Isn't there like a jokey rule? It's like half your age plus something.
Oh, I'm going to say the best. Like if you're measuring the word best by youngest that a 37-year-old could go for
uh-huh.
is 27.
Just 10 years off?
Yeah, but if you were 40, I would say 29.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Those are such arbitrary lines in the sand, though. Mm-hmm. I mean,
asking the hard questions.
Or movie talk, doing the research, so you don't have to.
The production design of It 2017, again, is really using modern horror tropes of having just super dark and dank apartments and settings. Like, everywhere looks like kind of a crack house.
Oh, but Mo, the dank!
So the dank apartments for Bev and Eddie are something that just feels out of a Harmony Korine film, like Gummo.
Okay, yeah. Is Harmony Korine, is that a man?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He's a weird dude.
Yeah. It's a weird name. It's a very hard name to place. Harmony Korine.
It might be Harmony or Harmon. I'm actually not quite sure about that. We do a lot of research for these episodes. Eddie's mom in particular is like this weird, gross.
Oh, man.
Character. She's a cross between like a Tim and Eric character and a character from Gummo.
Yeah.
Where it's just gross, like weird, strange.
She's just wearing this dirty windbreaker and she's kind of like in a fat suit almost.
Yeah.
She's just strangely overweight.
And greasy.
Yeah.
And like
sweaty. Yeah.
Sweaty.
Yeah. She's very Tim and Eric. That's dead on, and very Gummo. And, she's one of the best parts of this movie.
Yeah. And so she's kind of Munchausen by proxy. She's, you know, telling Eddie that he's got all these sicknesses and stuff and got him on all these pills. And then he eventually finds out that they're all placebos, that there's actually nothing wrong with them.
What does he call them?
I got a clip. Hold on.
When he finds out that the
sickness? Okay, what's sickness, Ma? You know what these are? They're gazebos! They're bullshit!
They're gazebos!
That's probably one of the best lines, best funny moments of the film.
Great.
They're gazebos!
They're gazebos! he was such a well-done character.
Yeah. So this film really explores all these, you know, concepts, and it does it pretty well. There's lots of jump scares. Pretty much you could take out from any other modern film, but it does them really well in this film. It's not super important to talk about the plot other than they're being attacked by a clown and that it's based on their fear. Eventually they kind of go on the attack. They go into a haunted house and
the well house.
And then they're attacked by Pennywise and then they don't succeed.
They go into his underground sewage lair.
They do it once. They attack in just the house, and that's when Eddie gets his arm broken. And then there's kind of a montage that kind of nothing really happens.
Yeah.
And then they just go back.
Yeah.
And then go underground into the sewer system. And that's where they kind of have their final battle, which is pretty effective.
Yeah, it's confronting fear, basically. Yeah,
they confront fear and they kind of use some kid logic. It's not as explained as it is in the book about the concept of using child logic to attack.
It's a damn sight better than the miniseries, let me tell you.
But yeah, the danger is if you want to do it more... if you want it to do it more like the book, you have to take a lot of expositional dialogue to explain it.
Yeah.
And it just comes off not great.
Right. And I think it does an effective job of basically, you know, portraying that these kids are standing up to what they're afraid of, you know?
Yeah.
And the one issue I have with this is it's it's shocking how weak Pennywise is for something that he is self-described as eternal, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's that's the thing, is that he's weak because they don't fear him
right
anymore. And so they're on the attack, and that's like the power. And he's still menacing while they're attacking, but it's just he's not effective.
And fear comes back every 30 years, right? So, and what is that? That's about a cycle of a generation. So every time you have a new generation born, you have fear reborn. So I think I mean, it probably makes a lot more sense in the book. And it makes a decent amount of sense in 2017, but the miniseries is pretty lacking.
They're gazebos.
They're gazebos!
Let me see it. And then they attack him, and then Pennywise kind of starts disintegrating.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's really cool.
Every time he gets hurt, his blood floats.
Yeah.
It floats up, which is super neat.
And then also, his lair where it shows all the kids floating, because they make a big deal of, like, we all float down here. And that is probably one of the coolest visuals, is this giant stack of dead bodies and live bodies that are floating around in the air like they're zero gravity.
Float! Float, 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 float. That's what we should do when we go to see Chapter 2. We should get in the theater, and right before, right as the starting credits are rolling, we'd be like, start chanting, like, float, 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 float. And everybody behind us would be like, float, float. Or it'd probably just be us saying float.
We could try to do it like the Mighty Ducks, where it's someone that just goes, float.
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 Float. Float. Float. Float. Float, 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 float.
Yeah.
And then we'll get the whole theater to do it.
It'll be great. It'll work out exactly as we imagine it in our heads.
We'll put it on Instagram.
If we can figure out how to use it.
Yeah.
Is this how you shoot a video? Bryce, we can't be those people. We can't be the old people who don't know how to use the new stuff.
Yeah, but we are.
No, we're not.
So they finally kind of defeat Pennywise, and it feels like this could be just a self-contained movie. If it didn't work out, this would have been like a fine self-contained movie. They don't necessarily need the sequel.
No.
And to be honest, like, the kid stuff is way more interesting than the adult side of it. So I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with Chapter 2.
Yeah.
It's got a great cast, so it's got all the pieces that they need. So, but we'll see. They attack him. Pennywise kind of disintegrates, and then he says kind of an on the nose final goodbye, which is
fear.
Fear. It's like, all right, we get it.
Fear.
That's it. There's probably some more that we could talk about, but that's the main points that I wanted to cover. So what's the final recommendation for it?
Man,
definitely see it. You should see it if you haven't seen it yet to prepare for Chapter 2.
Yeah.
It's cheap, like $4 on to rent. Like,
it's a high quality, well done, really disturbing horror movie, like solid horror movie that, I mean, if that sounds terrible to you, it is for you. If it sounds great to you, it's going to be pretty great. And if you haven't seen it, what the heck are you doing? It's been out for 2 years.
So should we do let's just do taglines.
Okay.
It shouldn't be too long. Let's do taglines.
Yay! Here's taglines.
Taglines is a game where we come up with alternate taglines for the movie we are reviewing that we think are better suited for the film. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay.
Mine are bad.
Mm-mm. We always say that. But it always pulls through.
It, 2017, making horror pedo again.
All right.
It used to be kind of pedo-y.
It, 2017.
God damn, look at those hot children. Damn it. There's no escaping.
This was my turn. Okay, go ahead.
My second one is a clip that we have queued up. This is from The Simpsons, when Homer can't stop thinking about that billboard he saw for Clown College.
Hey, Homer, the section you're supposed to be monitoring is on fire.
Fire! Clowns are funny.
Clowns are scary.
It, Stephen King's classic, without the weird sex stuff.
But a little bit of weird, yeah, a little sex, weird stuff. Okay, my third is a follow-up clip from The Simpsons, where Homer is crafting a circus tent out of mashed potatoes at the family dinner. That's the mashed potatoes.
Mom, I think I'll have some wine.
Mike?
Yes, homie?
That's it! You people have stood in my way long enough! I'm going to Clown College!
I don't think any of us expected him to say that.
That was my exact reaction to this movie. I'm going to Clown College!
It, 2017. Like Stand By Me, but with more arms being ripped off.
Yeah. Yeah, at least one more.
Next, we're going to be talking with David's wife about her reaction to horror or porno.
Yeah, she wasn't a big fan.
We'll have to let her tell the story.
Yeah, we'll let her tell the story. So here we go.
And, okay. So, set the scene for me. You're listening. Does David come to you with the episode and say you have to listen to horror or porno, or are you, like, naturally listening to it?
So, he told me about the idea in the very beginning, and I got very excited about it, because I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, and they do this type of stuff all the time on the show, and I always play along with it, and so, he let me listen to it, before you guys put it out. I got a sneak preview.
Right, right. It's one of the perks of being married to someone in horror movie
It's
time.
Very exciting. Mm-hmm. And so, first of all, I couldn't hear. I mean, it was on his computer. It was going through his headphones. So I didn't hear, like, full on everything.
You didn't have the headphones on?
No, I didn't have them on.
Oh, okay.
He just turned up the volume really loud.
Jesus. It's a very David thing to do, of course. All right.
And I got into it in the beginning, and then it was when he got to the Hocus Pocus one. And then I realized, you're bullshitting me. This isn't real. And I got very angry. And I walked away.
Whoa. Bullshitting you. In what sense?
Because I thought it was real. I get real. So on the Stern Show,
is real. What are you talking? That was. You remember Hocus Pocus?
No, stop it.
What? See, I just don't understand your reaction.
On the Stern Show, the last time they did one of these, it was like they would play a clip of somebody giving a speech at an award show. Uh-huh. And then you had to guess whether or not it was at the Emmys that the person was giving the speech for, or if it was at the Adult Video Awards.
Okay.
And it was awesome because you'd have people up there being like, I just want to thank all the ladies in this category for all their hard work. And it'd be like, that. And then Robin on the show would guess what it was. Uh-huh. And they'd all guess. And then it'd be like, it was the Adult Video Awards. Or the Emmys. So anyways, I just thought it was not authentic once I realized it was all joke.
I mean, it was funny. It was, I mean, it was really funny. But it was mostly because it was unexpected. Because I didn't remember those parts. I mean, after the episode, I mean, he showed me all the clips. It was totally legit. Like, those are definitely...
That's not legit.
Yeah, man. Go back to Hocus Pocus. I mean, out of context, it seems like no way that couldn't be from Hocus Pocus. But, I mean, it is.
No, it's not.
David didn't show you the clips?
You're messing with me.
So you were angry at David.
I was very angry. Well, and I told him that he shouldn't play that clip. That he should edit it out. Because other people were playing along and would get mad at me.
You don't know how delighted you probably do know how delighted David was at that reaction.
Yeah.
Because it's better than he could have ever expected it to go.
Which made me even angrier, to be honest.
All right. Well, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to do it again this episode, but we didn't have time. We'll probably do it on It Chapter 2. We'll see how it goes. Maybe you'll win this time.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see. Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by, Carrie.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh.
That was hilarious.
Oh, Carrie.
What a delightful anecdote.
You crazy crazy lady.
So that's Horror Movie Talk for this week. Thanks for listening. And again, go check out horrormovietalk.com. You can find past episodes and useful links, blog posts, and whatnot. Check us out on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, pretty much anywhere that you would follow someone.
YouTube.
And don't forget to check out our Patreon. Consider becoming a patron. Helps us out. Help us buy a new microphone.
Yeah.
And you get access to bonus content that's not available to anyone else.
Yeah, it's actually, it's got to be getting close to like 15 episodes of AfterPod and, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty good stuff.
Get a peek behind the scenes of Horror Movie Talk. You just can't get enough of us talking.
It's just a lot of gossip, really.
Please share the podcast with a friend. It's the only way that we grow. We're not advertising anywhere. We barely do anything other than just post stuff on social media and hope that people like it. So if you do, help us share the word by sharing the podcast with a friend. To help us out, again, there's the Patreon. But also, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, click through the banner on our website, horrormovietalk.com. And then you'll be able to support the show from that. Special thanks to all our fans.
We love you
all
guys.
Our patrons. I really, can't express enough how much we appreciate people reaching out to us and just being able to talk about horror movies and about the podcast. It's a labor of love, and we're just amazed that anyone likes it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun doing this. So
and looking at special thanks to anyone that's listening right now, because looking at our stats on Spotify, I can understand that about 25% stick it out till the end.
The very
there's
end.
A special you are a special person.
You're
listening
great.
Right now. You are the 1/4 that are the supporting members of Horror Movie Talk.
Congratulations.
You'll listen to this the whole way through.
Mine.
Even though I'm not really saying anything right now.
Except for you're great and we love you.
Yeah. So again, thanks. Look forward to the next show, which will be It Chapter 2.
Yeah. Who saw that coming?
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.